22, verse number 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Then he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. May God bless the reading of the Word this morning. And we're told that after John is told of these events, what is going to take place, already the tribulation period has now come and been concluded. We find that the Antichrist has come on the scene and the mark of the beast has been given. Jesus has returned and the battle of Armageddon has been fought. And John is given a prophecy of the end time. He's already gotten a glimpse of the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city, coming down from God out of heaven. And now in this last chapter, in the 10th verse, the messenger tells John, Seal not the sayings of this prophecy. Seal not the sayings of this prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And I thought that's an interesting statement because centuries earlier, and I want you to think about this, centuries earlier, the Holy Ghost moved upon a prophet by the name of Daniel, the statesman. And he gave Daniel prophecies of the end time, things that are taking place today, and things that will take place tomorrow and in the last days. And then in the 12th chapter of Daniel, God spoke to Daniel and said, Some of these details that I've told you, I want you to seal them up. Amen. They're not to be revealed. They're not to be said. They're not to be told. Seal them up for the last days. And now some 600 years later, John is given the revelation of the end time. And when you come to this verse number 10, he says, Said unto him, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The details of the end time were not to be revealed in Daniel's day, but now John had to be revealed. That it be shared, that it be shown to everyone, that all might know what is to be in the end time, for the time is at hand. And since these prophecies are today being fulfilled in the year 2012, being fulfilled today, I thought it's great to be alive, to be a part of the end time. And I realize that age is catching up to some folks. But let me leave this with you. I'm really looking for the Lord to come in my lifetime. Somebody might say, Well, Brother Jones, you better come quickly. Listen to what he said. Listen. He said in the 12th verse, Behold, I come quickly. He could come at any moment. But now he said to John, The things that I have shown Daniel years ago, and I had them sealed up and not to be revealed. Now, John, it's time. This is the last time. Seal them no longer. Reveal them. Let the world know what is to come. The time is at hand. The time of the Lord's second coming back to this earth again. The time of the rapture. All of that talked about. John had already seen even the end of the millennial reign. But Jesus is soon to come in. And let me say this today. If this was talking about the Lord's return to the earth at the end of the tribulation period, remember this. And we've had it in Bible study. If you can get your mind on my drawing on the blackboard. I know it's very simple and very scratchy, but try to get it anyhow. If the Lord is coming to back to this earth at the end of the tribulation period, this communion table represents the 7 years of tribulation. If Jesus is coming back to the earth again at the end of the tribulation period to fight the battle of Armageddon and defeat Satan and the armies of this world, don't you know that Jesus is coming in the air for the rapture 7 years earlier? That means we might be living right here. One more step and He's here. 7 years before He comes back to earth again, He's coming in the clouds to catch us out to be with Him. He's going to make His appearance. So what I say today is get ready, stay ready, serve God. The tragedy is in this day, millions upon millions seemingly have no interest in committing their lives to God and living right, serving God. And when that day comes, it will be too late. That's what I want to preach about this morning. Too late. Bible says in 11th verse, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still." He's saying the unjust, the filthy, are the unsaved. They're those without Christ. They're those that are continuing to live in sin. So I want to make a statement here. When that day comes for millions, it will be too late to be saved. That's the first part of my sermon. Too late to be saved. I don't know of anything. Well, this surely ranks amongst the most terrible that could happen. Be in a church. Listen to the singing. Be a part in the singing. Hear the truth. Know the truth. Know what needs to be done. Then not do it. Reject Christ. And the trumpet sound and you be left behind with no opportunity to be saved. You say, "Brother Jones, won't some be saved in the tribulation period?" Yes. But listen closely. For those that have known the way, that have heard the word, that have rejected Christ and turned their backs on Him, I would not bank on them having another opportunity. Millions will go into eternity unprepared because it'll be too late to be saved. Let him that is unjust be unjust still. Let him that is filthy be filthy still. So I would like to say something to begin with to make clarify some things. There are many false doctrines that are being propagated in the religious world of our day. But the important thing for every one of us is to know the truth and know what the Bible says and live thereby. What God says in His Word is what we ought to go by. Let me leave some things with you. The Bible says, the way that a man lives is the way that a man will die. If a man lives without Christ, he will die without Christ. If a man lives in sin, unless he repents, he will die in sin and be lost forever without hope. I want to make a statement that everyone needs to understand. Some have questioned it, but I want to make it plain as the Bible says it. There is no second chance after death. The way a tree falls, so shall it lie. Man dies in sin, goes out to meet God, he will never have another opportunity. The man that died in the book of Luke, the wealthy man died, and the Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. No purgatory, no second chance, no need for anybody to pray for his soul. If he dies in sin, he's lost forever. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Forever and forever. Yes. Last Wednesday night, at the close of the service, Matthew here stepped to the altar before I left the platform to talk to me. We had mentioned about the eternal lake of fire that I had a blackboard. Mentioned about the eternal lake of fire, and Matthew asked the question, will it literally be fire? Will it be little fire? I don't know exactly how it will be, but I know this. It will be torment like you've never realized. Worse than anything you can ever imagine. And the thing about it is this. It will be forever. eternal. But the good part about it is those that are saved will have eternity with the Lord. Let him that is unjust be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. If you die in sin, you're lost forever. And you can have all the people in the world praying for you and praying for me. And they can light candles and they can do this and they can do that. And they can say prayers and all the rest. But if a man dies in sin, he's lost forever. My God, today's the day of salvation. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he made that statement, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to turn your life over to God." I'm glad that I did. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Too late to be saved. Let me share some good news before I come to the second point today. For those that are saved, those who love the Lord today, serving the Lord, although we were born in sin, although we were shapen in iniquity, although the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, although we are known that the Bible says in the Old Testament that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, although none of us were righteous within ourselves, none of us were good within ourselves without God, but thank God today there came a time in our lives, if you're saved this morning, there came a time in our lives when we heard the Word and the invitation came to us and we accepted it and we repented of our sins and we asked the Lord for mercy and extended mercy and He saved us. Brother, that's enough to shout about for the first 1,000 years. Amen. The Lord knocked at your heart's door, and you opened the door, and He came in. Aren't you glad? We accepted the invitation. But for millions, and many of those are in churches this morning, many of those in America that were raised in Christian homes, many of them that know the Word, some have been saved before and went back on God. There will come a time when millions will be lost with no hope of salvation. Too late to be saved. I want those words to go over in your mind. Too late to be saved. But I want to preach the second point, second part of the sermon, altogether different. I am glad this morning that I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I accepted Christ as my Savior. And the last part of that 11th verse says, let him be righteous. Let that be righteous. Righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. At that time for the righteous. At that time for the redeemed. At that time for those that are holy. At that time for those that are born again. For those whose sins have been forgiven by the Most High God. I want you to remember this. My first point, there's coming a time when it'll be too late to be saved. My second point is, at that moment it will be too late for Satan to ever hinder the believers again. Hallelujah. I don't know what that word did to you, but something on the back of my neck. He's bothered me a long time, but his days are numbered. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes back to this earth again at the end of the tribulation period and defeats the armies of the world at the Battle of Armageddon, He's going to take Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit, and he will remain there bound and chained for 1,000 years. And Jesus will rule from the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem for that 1,000 years of the millennial reign, a just reign, a righteous reign. Everything will be directed by God. People will line up with God. And at that time, Satan will have been bound in the bottomless pit. And it will be too late for him to hinder me. Because in that moment, I will have heard the sound of the trumpet. I will have heard the voice of the shout of the Almighty. I will have been changed from this mortal flesh into immortality. I will have put on my glorified body in it. I'm not like you. I'm not going to try to discuss it right now. Exactly what it's going to be like. I believe I have a little bit different from some things, but I don't believe I'm going to be old in eternity. But I will have put on my glorified body.
Amen.
And when that happens, Satan will never be able to hinder me anymore. Not only is he destined to the bottomless pit, but during that 1,000 years of the millennial reign, while Jesus is ruling and reigning, at the close of that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be allowed to come out of the pit and do his work for the last time over here at the end of the 1,000 years. There'll be one more battle, the battle of Gog and Magog, and many will turn to Satan and be lost and caught up to the great white throne judgment. But listen to this. Satan is not only destined to spend 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. He's destined to be forever and forever and forever into the eternal lake of fire where there will be no getting out forever and forever. He will never hinder me again. You know what his business is today? To get you to falter, to fail, to stumble, to quit, to give up. Go back. Let me share something with you. When I look back, there's nothing back there for me to go back to. I found the answer. I found the Lord is real. I found the Lord is good. I hope that you'll never forget the one statement. At that time, Satan, it'll be too late for Satan to ever hinder us again. Every sickness in this world today is here because sin came into the world. Every pain that your body has ever felt is because sin has come into this world. Every temptation, every trial, every trouble, every heartache, every difficulty, every accident, all because Satan has come into this world. There's coming a time when it'll be too late for Satan to hinder the children of God anymore. I thought, we don't shout very much. But that's something to shout about. My wife had that heart attack, had that heart trouble, a year and a half ago, had surgery, 8 weeks in the hospital and in the rehab, and now because of various things, thyroid is out of kilter and her back's hurting and hurts to walk, leg give away, just going up 3 steps to our kitchen. Pain, pain, pain. I'd like to say to the devil this morning, your days are numbered. There's coming a day when you'll never be able to touch my wife again. Brother Lou, you'll never have any more pain in your feet and legs. You'll be able to shout all over God's heaven. Because Satan will be too late for Satan to ever touch you again. And every one of you that have had sicknesses and suffering and pain, difficulty, there's coming a day when it'll be too late for Satan to ever. Brother, I don't know about you, but that does something in my heart. That does something in my life. I've seen what he's done over the years. I remember when my little brother reached up on the stove and got the end of that pot with boiling water and dumped it on himself. He didn't realize what he was doing, little fella. how that he was blistered, and my daddy picked him up in his arms and walked out way down in the back of our house, way back there. I heard my daddy praying and crying with my brother screaming because of that boiling hot water. When daddy got back to the house, Gene was no longer screaming because Jesus met him out there and touched him. But listen, that was the devil that caused my brother to be blistered like that. The devil's out to kill, to steal, to destroy. There's coming a day, oh Satan. There's coming a day, and your days are about over. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's coming a day when you'll never, never, never be able to touch me again. I remember when we got the call from Dr. Aaron, Franklin Springs, Georgia. In the early 40s, my sister had gone to finish high school and go to junior college at the Bible school, and they called and said, your daughter's in the hospital. Her appendix have erupted. She's in bad shape. She's in dire condition. The war was on. Couldn't go. She'd been taken to one hospital to another in Washington. Didn't look very good, but we prayed. The people prayed. The church prayed. And God came on the scene. My wife, my sister's 80-some years of age today, is still alive. That was the devil that caused that, but devil, your days are numbered. I thought of what he's done in this church. Some of you are facing surgery now. Some of you are in pain all the time. Some have said, I'll never have that surgery again because of all the pain that I've had because of the other knee, the other shoulder, whatever, the other hip, whatever it might be. I want you to know, Satan, it's going to be too late for you. One of these days, he'll never touch us again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. When I was reading, preparing for the sermon, I thought the Bible tells me that what God has done in my life, because I'm saved by the grace of God, because there's coming a time when Satan will no longer have any place to touch me or hinder me, or no way to try to trick me or to tempt me in any way, because his days are almost over. Not only is he destined for the 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, but forever in the lake of fire. But for the Christian, it's a different story. Altogether, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking for Jesus to come. When I go to bed at night, I'm looking for Jesus to come. If he comes while I'm asleep, he'll wake me up. If I get up in the morning, I'm looking for Jesus to come that day. This morning, I'm looking for Jesus today. Said, Brother Jones, why today? Because he didn't come yesterday. Satan has had a heyday. 6,000 years he's been the master deceiver. He deceived Eve because Abel killed his brother, came to get his brother Abel. And all through the whole time of mankind on this earth, Satan has had a heyday. But I'm waiting for the sound of the shout, for the trumpet, for the dead will come forth out of their graves and they'll have newness of life, and you and I will be changed and called out together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And I'm going to close in a few moments, but never, never, never to be attacked by Satan again. Never again to be tempted to sin. Never again to suffer pain. No sickness, no heartache, no trouble, no trials. It would be too late for Satan ever again to hinder. I don't know about you. And I'm close. We're going to sing and pray. I don't know about you, but I am anxious for that day to come. I am tired of seeing what Satan is doing to God's people. You say, well, Brother Jones, why would God allow it? He's God. He has the answers. I don't. But Satan is out to destroy every one of you. Every one of your family. Sister Christine, your children and your grandchildren, and mine as well. He's out to destroy them. One of these days, he will have had his last fling. It'll be too late for Satan ever to hinder anymore. As my wife comes to the piano, I want you to think of something. We haven't arrived in heaven yet. We haven't received our glorified bodies yet. We don't have any idea the wonder of it all, of having a glorified body. It's going to be so much more than we can imagine, I believe. But what a thought. Here I am, my age. All of my life I have seen, on both sides, I've seen what God can do and what Satan has done. I've seen the blessings of God and I've seen what Satan has destroyed. One of these days it's just going to be this. Oh, Satan will be in the eternal lake of fire, never to hinder. Can you imagine waking up in the morning? Well, I shouldn't say that. There'll be no nights in heaven. It's going to be eternal day. Can you imagine in the next 10 billion years, Satan nowhere around? And then the next 10 billion years, and Satan hasn't been heard of. And the next 10 billion years. How long, Brother Joe? Time without end. I used to say throughout eternity. That's the wrong word. There's no such thing as throughout eternity. It's going to keep on going. Into eternity. Keep on going into eternity. What do you say, preacher? There's coming a time when it's going to be too late to get saved. There's coming a time when it's going to be too late for Satan to hinder me anymore. I love Him today. I love Jesus today. Will you stand together with me? We're going to sing a chorus. I've got a chorus, honey.